This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. A little cold, but other than being a little chilly, everything's all right.
Well, that's all right. You know, these days, if we can say everything's all right, we're above water and we're doing better.
That's right. At least we're not in Washington. I mean, that's not a safe place to be.
No, it's not. So...
It's a crazy world we're living in, isn't it?
We're seeing things that we haven't seen before. I will say, though, that I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot about how things work, processes and ceremonial events and things like that. You watch a lot of these things on TV where they're having, you know, the stuff in like the chambers where they read the script and they say, you know, do you have any objections to this? And then they say no, and then they would say we hear none, and then whatever language they use, it's such that old school language. It's like I can almost picture like Thomas Jefferson or, you know, John Adams or any of them, you know, sitting in the same room saying the same things. It's really fascinating because this is all stuff that I never learned in history books.
Well, and of course, history will write this down. This will be in the new history books. They will talk about America and how we acted and what all happened. And the kids will learn from this years from now.
Yeah.
They're still going to be talking about this unusual year and the politics of the United States. And I think, you know, kids, like you say, if they could see all this and hear everything goes on and how it's decided and how they vote, it's really interesting part of our history.
It really is. I didn't even know a lot of these things happen. You know, they they say on TV as they're, you know, broadcasting these things, they say, you know, these are, you know, ceremonial events that, you know, normally go under the radar and we don't usually cover them. But, you know, due to extreme circumstances, we're covering them today. It's like, wow, I wish I had seen these things like when I was a kid, just to understand the how government works. I mean, we know how it works, but we don't actually know how it works until we see stuff like that. So I'm hoping that, you know, young people see this and they say, hey, we have a better understanding of government. And then, you know, like you say, with the new history books, I'm hoping that they at some point are published and they not only show this, but then they show how people, you know, come together at the end. Of course, this is all in the future, but I'm hoping that they're able to say, hey, everybody came together and we'd all turn it out better and stronger and supported each other and stuff like that. I'm hoping that that's how things kind of go from here.
Well, I think, you know, the next 4 years will be very interesting. I think teachers will talk about it. The historians I know are going to talk about this. 2020 was most unusual politics I've known in my lifetime.
That's a nice way to put it.
I'm being nice. And everything that's happened in the last 2 or 3 days is so shocking. You know, we think of the people's house of being sacred, that you quietly tiptoe in, you do your business. If you're allowed in, it's a sacred place. I mean, this is where our laws are changed. This is where everything happens. And then we see all this and we say, my gosh, how could all this have happened?
Yeah.
You know, we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and I think you're right. The historians will write about all this. Things will be brought out about our history and how it really works. And we know now that what the vice president can and cannot do in life. A lot of these things, us ordinary people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, legally, what can you do here? What can you do there? And then they did do their certification. I don't know when, but it shows that that it goes right on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in spite of all the bad that happened, they went right on with the people's business.
Yeah, it shows that, you know, the whole I guess machine is bigger than any one individual. There's a saying for that. I just can't remember what it is.
Yes, I would say we all know the government's bigger than us because it's been there a long time and it's gotten bigger and bigger. But we have to rely on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, this is what we have in America. This is the type of government we have, and this is what we have to look to.
Yeah.
To make our laws, if we don't like them, we have to change them.
Mm-hmm.
If we're fine with them, then we just go right on.
Yeah, it's a somebody described it one day this week as though it's an honorable, civilized process. I think is how they
you
put it.
You thought it was a civilized process.
That's
right?
What they said. Yeah.
Yeah. Up until a couple of days ago, it was civilized, and you know. They've always been so respectful of each other up there. And none of this, I mean, I'm still in shock. You know, I'm just in a state of shock as to how this really happened.
Yeah.
When I saw this character sitting in the chamber behind the Speaker of the House's seat, I almost fainted dead away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
I'm
not...
saying, how did this happen?
We don't see pictures like that very often.
No, we don't. And people... scaffolding up the side of the building.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, my goodness, it's like they're rock climbing on the front of the building. It's like there's
yeah,
no
it's
safety
like
net.
These crazy people came to Washington, and I don't know what group they were with, but it's like they were insanely crazy. And what were they going to do once they got inside?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if there was a plan.
I don't know what their plan was or if they even had one.
Yeah.
But they were doing outrageous things, and they were not prepared for it. The D.C. police you know, was trying to play catch-up and get ahead of it, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
There was too many of them.
Yeah.
So it was startling, to say the least.
Yeah, startling. Yeah.
That's the only word I know, startling. When I saw it, I caught my breath and go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was a little bit jarring to, I think, most people that were watching. I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, they're really, really rethinking and saying, okay, we should all kind of work together. Maybe that's what this is all about. I don't know. Maybe it's so that we can all kind of come together and, you know, it had to be like a pot that boils over before we kind of turn down the temperature and we all, maybe it'll lead us to a better place where we all, I don't know.
Well, you can hope and we can see what happens in the coming years, in the coming days even.
Yeah.
If this will simmer down, if everything get quiet, we'll go back to, you know, the way things are supposed to play out, very quietly and civilized, and maybe all this will go away. They'll see that whatever they were thinking did not work.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully.
It was chaos for 2 or 3 hours, but it had to end, and it did. And hopefully everything will go back to being civil. That's what I'm hoping.
I hope so. And then we'll get back to regular things. Maybe the economy will stabilize. People will not get quite so nervous. I know there's an awful lot of unsettling that happens when events like what happened this week happen. And that's kind of what this is all about. It's Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And we need to give that out more often because when people have been calling this week for information, they had not been to the website.
Really?
So, yeah, we need to send them to that website several times where they can look at us before they even call us. And that, I think that would help them.
Yeah.
Because all the information on the website tells how this works. It gives you an idea of how much money people've made, if it came in early, late, or if it was on time. It tells you about the investments, what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you've also got numbers up there that that people have actually made, because you've got and those aren't just made up random numbers. It's real profits that people have been making over investments for quite some time. And so there's a lot of historical data.
Right. Usually, I think we've got 2 years worth up.
Oh wow, that's quite a bit.
And I've still got some more to post. We get behind on all these postings. We're so busy, but we do try to keep those posted.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're back back in the office. We're post holiday now, so things are back at full speed. And
yes, we're working on policies. We're working on closing contracts. We're working, and then people are asking for statements. We're getting their statements out. That's taking 2 to 3 days because we've got so many of them right now asking, and they all decided at the same time. We'd like a statement, you know. And it was spaced out a little bit. It was like, oh, okay, it's after Christmas. Let's get a statement.
Yeah.
So we're getting statements out.
Neat. You know, we talk all the time about how the life insurance when people invest in a life insurance policy, that it's not affected by things that happen in the world events. And that's always been one of the big things that we stress. We say, you know, when whether it's, you know, in this country or someplace around the world or some kind of, you know, pandemic or some kind of whatever it is, anything can affect the stock market. And then we haven't really had major situations like what we saw this week to really, you know, point out that fact. But this week we had it, and as we sit there and we watch all the things that happened in the news this past week, all the uncertainty that happened you know, all over the world, because it's not only happening in this country, but it affects other countries as well. And so large entities can be affected because of the uncertainty of this. But we can honestly say without any hesitation that every single person who is in a life settlement right now, this type of investment has held its value. It is not shaken. It is not changed. Everything goes on as normal, even in times like this.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but that's exactly right. Their investments are the same yesterday and today. It didn't change because of Washington. It didn't change because of all the news coming out every day and the uncertainty we've had. Whatever you signed up for, that's what you're going to get. You're always going to get your principal. You're always going to get your interest back. And I love that about it. I've had several people call this week that say, look, I'm in the market. I'm not happy. I'm worried about what's going to happen. And I think I'd like to move some money over. So I've got several people moving money over, and they've all been in the stock market. But they don't want to stay in the stock market because of uncertain times. Mm. And they're right. This is uncertain. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen day to day. I mean, every day it's just some new crisis. And so I think they're right. Move part of their money or all of it, however much they feel safe, and moving out of the stock market and getting it to safety.
When you look back at 2020, because it was such a strange year, like you say, lots of uncertainty, you know, really from start to finish, how are people, I guess, coming out of it now that, you know, I know nothing changes, you know, New Year's Eve when it goes from midnight to midnight or one, how has people's outlook changed? Are they hopeful for the financial marketplace? I mean, just in general. Are they scared? Are they worried?
They're a little nervous, to say the least. I believe they are nervous. The ones that have called me are nervous. They're wanting to get out of the stock market. One has just retired. The other two have not retired, but they're in their 60s. So they don't want the rate of return to be as uncertain as it's been the last few years.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, you know, I've got my money now built up. If I get out now, we know it's not going to go down. And that's what they're worried about, it going back down because of the uncertainty of right now of what all's going to happen, what none of us know, you know. So they're saying we want to be certain of our principal and our interest the next few years. So this is why they're coming to us. And as I said, we had three people this week call, make appointments, you know, they're going to move some 401k money. And then I had a guy that said, nobody's ever helped him with his 401k. to tell him when you have to start taking money out, all these things. And he said, I didn't know all that, and I explained it all to him. He said, nobody has ever told me.
Really?
No. He was talking to friends, and whoever their financial counselor was wasn't giving them any information. Wasn't saying, okay, at 70 and a half, or the government's changed it a little bit, 71, you have to start taking out of that 401k. Or if it's an IRA, it's the same thing. You've got to start taking minimum distribution. So I explained all that to him, and he was so proud to know, you know, what's really going to happen.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, because as I talk to people once in a while, I hear, you know, the occasional comment like that. You know, they say, you know, I don't really know even what to ask, because I haven't even heard, you know, the little crumbs of, you know, like you say, at certain ages, you need to do certain things to start taking things out to, you know, to, and it's like they don't even, they get it set up and it's fine, but there's not always somebody there to kind of guide them through the process for, you know, some of the, you know, best investment practices. And you're there to do that. You're not just about, you know, just the investment itself. But you're really about planning for retirement, planning for wealth management, planning for wealth growth, and you're there every single step of the way. And I don't think a lot of people are used to that. And I think that's probably got to be one of the big benefits of doing business with
you. Yeah, and one guy said to me, I don't know how much I've made. I don't even know anything about it. I said, well, you need to get a statement on all three of your accounts and look at it. He said, well, I don't know what it's made. He said, I don't ever even go in there and look at it. I said, that's crazy.
Mm.
You know, every 30 days they should have been looking. If you're in the stock market, you better be looking at that statement every 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you can't read it, you shouldn't be in the stock market.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about people's money, and that's...
it's your life savings, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't know what you've got. He's put you in. You don't know if you're in A stocks, B stocks. Are you in dividend stocks? Are you in mutual funds, which that's got the highest fees, or in mutual funds? So, you know, what have you got? And the guy said, well, I'll have to go look it up. I don't know.
Oh, boy. And see,
and that's crazy.
Even without knowing, maybe they don't know the specifics, but with a life settlement, it seems like none of that is even a factor. They know they're in, you know, a stage four cancer policy. They know, you know, the basic types of policy, you know, if it's, you know, brain cancer, breast cancer, things like that. But other than that, they're not having to get up in the middle of the night, you know, checking their portfolio. They don't have to constantly, you know, look at things to see where they are. The communication is very streamlined. When a policy matures, you let them know, hey, it's matured. The money will go into your bank in, what, 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something?
6 to 8 weeks, usually.
Okay. Yeah. So you let them know exactly what's happening every step of the way. There's no that engagement that people have to, you know, get involved with when they're in other types of investments, always watching like a hawk to make sure everything is there. That's really unnerving for a lot of people, and it's uncertain information. And so I would think with a life settlement, you know, the security is there, the confidence is there, the just knowing that, hey, we invest, we set it, forget it, and wait for it to mature.
That's right. That's what I love about it. It's not a day-to-day fluctuation. And when you've got stocks, it's fluctuating every minute, every hour, and anything can happen. Yes, it can go up, but it also, everybody's worried about it going down a lot this year. And they just don't know, and I don't know. You know, I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know what's going to happen to their investments. But I know that if you have a life settlement, it's not going down.
Yeah.
When you get ready to cash in, it's going to be exactly what you thought it was.
Yeah.
And the certainty of that is really peace of mind, because, you know, I don't have to worry about it. I know what I'm going to make. I know how much I'm going to get back. I know that I'll always get that principal. And when you've got stocks, we don't know if it'll be worth as much tomorrow as it was today.
Exactly.
You know, or at the end of the year when you get ready to retire, how much am I going to really get? Will I get it all back plus a lot of profit, or am I going to break even or uneven?
Exactly.
So it's something to consider. You know, I would always consider that and say, I don't think I want it all in the stock market. I want to get some of it out enough that if I need it, I've got the cash there.
Yeah.
And one of my largest clients called me this week. He's very, very lucky in life. He treats people so good that when it comes to a new contract, he got the contracts. He called me about a month ago and said, Faye, I'm bidding on a couple of really big contracts. He said, I've done business with this company for 18 years.
Wow.
He said, I think I'll get the bid. But he said, the big guys are bidding it, like GE, some of the biggest ones in America. And he said, but, you know, there was a couple of times when they couldn't pay, and I carried them. And
really?
He said, I think that'll count for something.
Wow.
And, you know, in the end, it did. He got both contracts.
Really?
Millions of dollars in new contracts. And what they told him was, you always helped us. You were always there.
Wow.
Now, that says something about your ethics right there.
That is fantastic.
And so then he called me immediately and said, good times are here. I'm going to be giving you a lot more money. He said, I want to double everything in 8 years.
Wow. Is that possible?
Yeah. It is possible.
Okay.
We're going to really put it to the old grindstone and really work it. Now, he's the one that's got 20 policies.
Oh.
His goal now is to double that.
Really? He wants to get into 40?
Yeah. He's going to have 40, he says. And, you know, he's such a great guy, and he treats people right. And if every company would run their business like him, it'll pay off many times over.
Wow, that is fantastic.
He started out very, very small. He's been in business now, I believe, 20 years.
Really?
When he started out, it was just, you know, just him. Then he laid on a few more people.
Wow.
And he's always been so good to his employees. We always get something good from him every year. We talked to him many times during the year. And I was proud that when he got the new contract, I'm the one he called.
Yeah, I guess it's true. They
and
say
told
what,
me about it.
What goes and, around comes around.
Yeah, and before he got the contract, he wouldn't tell me who it was with in case somebody screwed up and said the wrong thing. But as soon as he knew he had it, he called me and said, we got the contract.
I
was proud of him.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
It is awesome. And if everybody we do business with would run their business that way, they'll always get the new contract or the new deal.
That's really inspirational.
It was very inspirational to me. To know we're doing business with that type of person.
Yeah, exactly, and that's really what it's all about. It's not, you know, coming in and trying to make a quick buck here or there. And you see so many different things, you know, on TV or even on the internet. Or sometimes we get, you know, spammy emails that say, "Hey, get into this," and then you'll make a fast profit. And you know, it's like there's so many, I guess, bad opportunities that exist, I think. Yeah, I'm being nice.
Yeah, you're being nice about those opportunities, let me tell you.
But a life settlement, you know, you come in, somebody's got to sell their policy. They've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and they've got to sell it because a lot of the money goes for treatment. A lot of money goes for, you know, I mean, it's very, very expensive. What was the last count? About $100,000 month for
it is. And did you see the doctor over there? I believe it was in Kentucky, one of our other states. His cancer patients owed him over $600,000.
No.
And for the year, he just wrote it all off to help him out.
Really?
That tells you how expensive it is. They were not even current with their bills to the doctor. Their cancer was costing so much, and so he wrote it all off. What a wonderful thing.
Wow.
Yes, he wrote off $600,000 and took the loss to help the people out.
Boy, not a lot of people would do that.
No. I'm telling you, we have a lot of good people. We just don't hear about them every day, about the things they're doing for their fellow man.
See, now you're getting really inspirational to me.
I'm thinking about it's a new year, what people have done for each other. Because I hear all the bad every day about what the scumbags are doing. And, you know, and I get some of these good stories, and I'm just inspired by it. Because these people, a lot of them don't have the life insurance to sell, and they owe the doctors so much, they're you know, it's stressing them out. They can't pay. They're trying to figure out what to do. And then the doctor says, I'm going to write it all off.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's a big number to write off. A lot of doctors could not do that. And a lot of doctors wouldn't do it. They just bill you even though you're sick and you're on the couch. They're going to bill you anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought that was spectacular.
That really is.
There's a few good things happening out there.
Yeah, this is turning into good news with Faye Bagby.
That's right, some good news for a change. Well, because lots of times, you know, I tell stories that are not so great.
Yeah.
So these are my great stories for, you know, Saturday morning.
You saved them all up for one day.
I saved them all up to tell you about some good stuff happening.
Oh, wow, what a nice way to start a year. See how things can turn around in no time?
That's right. Let's turn it around. And, you know, just a few good deeds when people really need it does help a lot.
Yeah, it does. Well, they say, I think I read that medical bills are the number one, let me see if I get this right, are the number one reason that people file bankruptcy is because of mounting medical bills, I think.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Medical bills can put you into bankruptcy quicker than anything else. And so most of your bankruptcies are over medical bills that they can't pay.
Yeah.
They can't get a break. They don't have enough insurance to cover it, or sometimes people don't have any. Mm. Or you've run out. You know, sometimes insurance companies say, this is the max we will pay for that disease. Mm. People don't realize that. That a lot of insurance policies say, okay, this is what we allow for cancer. This is what we allow for heart. This is, you know, and it's a certain amount. And when you reach that threshold, unless you have that extra coverage, which is another million or 5 million dread disease, you're not covered.
Yeah.
So you can run out. It can put the family in a real financial bind. And, of course, I'm so thankful that all these people that come to us have a good policy to sell for the, you know, to get treatment.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot. It takes, you know, if they've got a $100,000 policy, that's not going to take care of it. It'll help, but it's not going to get them through it. But the people that come to us that have $1 million to $2 million, they've got, you know, a lot of play there that they can use. And they do. And that's why they come to us, get us to buy their policy where they can get all this medical treatment.
Yeah. And so, I mean, not many people have doctors that will just write things off at the end of the year. So they've got to do something. And so by selling their life insurance policy, that's usually the biggest I guess the fastest way that people can get a lump sum of money to pay for treatments, right?
It's the only thing I know that you can do without just saying, I'll cash all my 401k in. Mm. And then you have nothing to live on in the future if you cash in that 401k. But you can take your life insurance policy because it's a cash cow. And you can get enough money that will really help you. And that's why they turn to us with their life insurance policies every day. And you know, we're going to be closing a lot of cases that we're working on right now in the next 2 or 3 weeks. People that have come to us, you know, they've got to have the money, and they're trying to make a deal with us.
Hmm. And that's kind of what it's all about, is really it's making a deal. It's, you know, people need to sell their policies. In order for that to happen, somebody has to buy it. That's where you come in. And then you turn around and then turn that into an investment for other people. And so how does it actually turn? How does a life insurance policy turn into an investment for those that don't know?
Okay. When people come to us, we're going to offer them a certain amount for that policy. It's going to be less than the face amount. So whatever we give them, our clients are going to make the difference between what we paid for that policy and what the face amount is.
Okay.
It may be $700,000, $750,000 that we're going to give those people. Then our people are going to make like $250,000 on the end. And they get paid when the person passes away. That's when we get the profit for our clients.
And you're not looking at, you know, 20 and 30 years out for people to get a return on their investment. It's pretty quick.
No, it's very quick. If it's a 24-month policy, they're going to get paid in approximately 24 months. And it's 1% a month. So they're going to make 24% if they've got if they've got a $100,000 policy, they're going to make $24,000.
It seems like probably that might be one of the biggest draws. You know, you're in the field, so you can speak this better than I can. But it seems like having quick turnarounds and nice profit margins is probably one of the biggest things that draws people in. And then when they see that it's real and it's consistent, that's what keeps them. Is that an accurate assessment?
It is. And the reason they stay with it is consistent. If you're investing all the time, you're going to make your share of the money. If you're sitting there in cash, you're not going to make anything. But if you consistently roll your money over, it works. Because all the people that have got the big incomes coming in off of this, it's every month or every 3 months or whatever it is, they reinvest, they have a new deal all the time, and it works. And you know, we've had all these policies for years now, so we know it works. We still have a few old policies, but we're getting rid of those. And people that I know, they reinvest with us every month, every year. When we had that big policy the other day, you know how people reacted. On that geophone, because brain cancer is so deadly, everybody got in it. I'll bet there wasn't three people in the whole company that did not invest.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a big draw. I mean, people were calling
it
like crazy.
It was a big draw. We were all excited to get in a policy that we know that the cancer is so deadly. And, you know, there's certain policies that everybody wants in. You know, I always tell them, breast cancer is one of the best because there's just not much you can do about it. And we've studied that and studied it, and we know how it works. We know that all but three of ours have always come in early. We've had three go long on breast cancer.
Really? Just
and
three.
Out of all these years, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
But what it is, these women will not go and just get a radical mastectomy. They won't do it. They'll go to Mexico. They'll go to Europe. And they're trying to prolong it. And when they do, it's growing all that time. So it makes their life expectancy very short.
Yeah.
Pancreatic cancer is everybody's favorite because they're usually 12, 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many other ones that we do, you know, that have come in early. As I say, some are coming in late. You know, we've got four right now that we're waiting. On them, they have material that we don't have yet, you know. But all of them have matured right at the end of 20. The COAT policy, the Sequoia policy, we've got about 2,270,000 that we're waiting on right now.
Really?
Yeah. So all these people, well, we've got seven policies that we're waiting on to get in and get in their bank accounts right now.
Wow. And yeah. I mean, that big, huge policy at the end of the year, it was amazing. It's not always one of those things that happens every day. You know, and they say hindsight is 2020. Well, now the year 2020 is actually hindsight. So as you look forward to 2021, do you see, you know, is there any kind of change to be expected in any way as far as, you know, the types of policies? Does COVID treatments...
Well, I think we're going to have a lot more because of this new company that we've got. I think we're going to have a better return than we've ever had, unless I'm mistaken. They're going to be bringing us policies. We're direct with them. There is no brokers involved. And that's the first time we've ever, and they're the one that brought us that, the brain cancer policy. And that's why people are going to make 30% on that. It's a great return. And so we'll be looking forward to that. But moving on to the new cases, I think that we'll be getting some big returns from this company. We don't have their next policy yet, but I know they're working to bring us some new policies.
So you're really looking at a really, really bright, positive outlook for 2021.
Yes, I think we are. And I think we'll be getting a lot of maturities in. We didn't have a lot over Christmas. I think we just haven't heard about them yet, but I think we will have a lot more maturities this year. And I think the cases we're looking at are great. I think people are going to make great returns, and I think they're going to be very happy with their investments.
Yeah.
And that's why new people are coming every day and saying, you know, we've been listening to you for years. we're ready to make a move. We're ready to move our 401k. And all this is 401k money.
Really? So they're just rolling it over?
They're rolling it over, doing a rollover to us. And as I said, we had three people this week come to us. And people right now are unsettled. They're wanting to make a move. They're wanting to get their money to safety. And it's a good time to do it right here at the first of the year.
Okay. I know at the first of the year has been, you know, some challenges in the past with, you know, outbidding other companies. We'll get into, you know, some of those logistics here in just a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Don't forget, people can go there and find tons of information, not only all the numbers that we were talking about before, but people can also read testimonials from people who have been through the program, who have been through investments before, have gone through the process of investing in life insurance policies. They can read a little bit about it from their perspective. So a wealth of information at AmericanFinancialMidland.com. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. What's our topic this morning?
The Rainbow Bridge.
The Rainbow Bridge.
Rainbow Bridge. I know you've never heard of it, probably.
No.
But this is the scariest bridge in Texas.
Wait a minute. Hang on. The Rainbow Bridge is the scariest bridge?
It's the scariest bridge in Texas.
Huh. Okay. Why?
This bridge was built in 1938.
Oh, cool.
It is 20 stories tall.
What?
It's 20 stories tall, folks.
Wow.
Can you believe this?
No.
When they built it, the reason they built it so high and so straight up is the Navy came to them and said, we have this ship that might have to go under this bridge, so we need it really, really tall where this tallest ship in 38 could go under it.
Oh.
By the way, the Navy never did send the ship under that bridge after all of this.
So they made it high for nothing.
For nothing. And it never did come. But let me tell you something. This bridge is so scary. The story is, and I've never been over it either. I would go 30 miles around, too. You go to the very top. It's like you're just going to drop off, and you can't see the bottom of the bridge. You get to the top, and you're praying that the bottom of the bridge is below you. It's that bad.
Oh, man. So it's like a roller coaster.
It's like that. You get to the top, you go over that bump, and you're praying, oh, Lord, let that highway be below me, you know?
Oh, man.
And at night, you cannot see a thing. You get up there at the top at night, and it's just, you don't know what's under you. I mean, it's scary. One thing they do down there at Port Arthur is the kids that are fixing to take driver's ed, they make them drive over this bridge when they start the course.
That's just cruel.
It is cruel because it's scary. But teenagers go over there and get in the scaffolding on weekends. They've always done scary things out there. Janis Joplin, this is where she sang when she was a teenager.
Really?
Janis Joplin lived there. And she would go out there and get on those trellises and sing at night over weekends.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And that's where she was practicing singing. A lot of things happened on this old bridge. And everybody just says it's so scary they would drive 30 miles around it. But it's the scariest bridge in Texas. Now then, the way it got its name, in 1957 they said, you know, we need to have a name for this bridge. So they had a contest, and a little girl at the Lions Club, her name was Christy McClintock, she submitted the winning entry, and she says, I'd like to name it the Rainbow Bridge.
Mm.
And she said it looked like a mechanical rainbow. And I guess it does, because it just, you know, it's glistening up there so high it's almost to heaven.
It's a huge arch.
A huge, huge arch, and goes straight up. And another guy said, it's like Greek mythology, you know, where it's between earth and heaven. And I think everybody has some really interesting things to say about this bridge.
Wow, I see why it's so scary now, especially if you get up to the top. I mean, I don't even go on kiddie roller coasters. They scare the daylights out of me.
Oh, I don't either.
Wow.
But and this thing's been there all these years, and people either love it or they go around it.
I can't even imagine trying to go down that thing.
And it says you have to have a lot of faith that the payment will be there when you pass over the hump.
Wow. I'd be one of those that gets to the top and stops, and it's like, well, now I can't go forward because I'm not sure, and now I can't go backward because it's the same thing on the other side. So I'd be like stuck.
It's a two-lane bridge.
Oh, man. So you're almost closed in. It's claustrophobic.
Yeah, if you're claustrophobic, this is not the place to go. I mean, because it's so scary. If you get to the top and can't do it, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. I could see
me. You're used up there.
Yeah, you'd be stuck. You'd have to camp out. You'd have to live there forever.
And at night, especially, when you get to the top, oh, my gosh, in the dark?
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
No way.
And I can't believe these kids go out there and get up there in the catwalks on weekends.
Me neither. Golly.
And it's setting up there, and then you've got all this other going. Janis Joplin's up there just singing her heart out.
That would have been really, really cool to see.
And it said she would sing under the great Texas sky and scorch the stars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
nicely
put. Scorch the stars. So a lot of people have a lot of sayings about this bridge. And they said, well, you've got the High Five in Dallas. You've got all these other bridges, but you don't have the Rainbow Bridge. You don't have all that scary stuff going on, folks.
I bet if you can get past the scariness of it, which is difficult for me to do, I bet it almost feels like you could probably reach up and grab the stars. I'm just guessing.
That's what everybody thinks. You could just reach out and touch them.
Wow.
It is so dadgum. Why would in 1938 I could not envision a 20-story frigging bridge? You know? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I just said, just drive around. You know, this is ridiculous.
Can you imagine some old person getting on that bridge and not knowing? You know, it's at night, and you're going down the highway, and you come up on that thing, and you're at the top, and you're 85 years old.
I can't imagine a young person coming up on it.
I'm just saying, I believe you'd have a heart attack right
yes.
then and there.
Yes, you're probably right.
I mean, it's just so bad. And then making the kids do it before they do driver's ed.
Oh, that's just mean. Oh, wow.
It's not fair, let me tell you.
It is not fair.
Yeah, it's just not fair. It's scary.
I'm kind of,
oh my gosh.
I picture like nothing around, like anywhere near this bridge. So it's like, you know, really like at night, I would imagine it's probably really, really dark. You know, you don't have city lights or anything like that. That's kind of what I'm picturing with this. I don't know.
That's the way I picture it.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine that, you know, right over that Neches River, there's that big old thing just sticking up there in the dark.
Man, that would be intimidating and very, very scary.
I would think they would replace it by now.
Well, maybe they don't because, you know, people like us talk about it.
Maybe that's it. Or it would be so expensive.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Now, a lot of people don't like the bridge in Corpus, down there. That's a scary bridge, especially if you're having a storm or something.
Oh.
Then you've got the old Trundle bridges in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not as scary as this.
I mean,
you could talk about all these other bridges, but they don't have the same effect.
Mm-mm. You know, and there's lots of bridges like, you know, you see, you know, things like the, I don't know, what's the, like the Golden Gate Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge. You see these long bridges, you know, that just seem to go on for forever. And you know that they sway a little bit when the earth moves or the wind blows.
They do sway, yes.
And so that's scary enough. I think probably the Rainbow Bridge outscares all of those combined.
It does. I mean, you know, it's something to talk about and stay away from.
Yeah.
But at least look at it and turn around and go back.
Yeah. I'll
go
turn
back.
I'll extend my journey by 2 days to avoid this.
That's right. And, you know, the old Trundle Bridge here in Texas, you know, when you go over it, You know, those old wood tails are just moving and moving, but that's nothing compared to this.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
At least they gave it a nice, friendly, happy name, though, even though it's scary. You know,
that little girl named it Rainbow Bridge. Wow.
It sounds like it's all rainbows and, you know, unicorns and clowns and balloons, and you picture that.
Yeah.
But that is, like, actually scary.
But you go drive that thing and you'll forget about the rainbow part real quick.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can think heaven has just arrived.
Yeah, or as you get to the top and you start to go down the other side, you got to be saying to yourself, you know, at the other end of this rainbow, there better be a pot of gold, or this isn't worth it.
That's right. There better be something when I get to the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
1938, is that what you said it was built?
Yes, it was built 1938. The Navy had this huge ship that they just knew was going to have to come to Corpus and go under that bridge, and they wanted to be sure it would clear. Oh, my gosh. And the Navy never sent the ship. It never once went under this bridge. That's typical government, you know. They were going to do it, but they just didn't need it.
Yeah, there you go.
But in the meantime, you got to build this huge monstrosity just in case we need it.
Oh, that's
funny.
They
didn't need it. Yeah, I never used it.
It's hilarious. The Rainbow Bridge. Hey, did you say?
And I don't know what it cost. I wonder what it cost in 1938 to build this monstrosity.
Man, that's a good question. There's no telling. How long did it take to build? Do we know?
I don't know how long it took, but I would say it took a long time back in that year to get it that high.
Yeah. I don't even know how you would support something like that. Especially in 1938. I mean, I know they had, like, you know, apparatus, you know, they were building skyscrapers and stuff, but still, it seems like when you're building a bridge like that, it would be a little bit more tricky.
I think it was tricky. It probably took a long time. I need to look up and see how long it took to build that bridge.
Yeah, yeah, and how much it cost.
I don't know how long it took, but it was a sight to see, and people have been saying it. This is 2021, and they're still calling it the scariest bridge in Texas.
Wow.
Out of all the bridges, and there's a lot of them people are afraid of, but this one is the scariest.
I wonder if they ever thought about putting like zip line at the top and then like zip lining to the bottom.
I think they'd have a heart attack. Do you want a 20-story zip line? A 20-story one? Wow.
It's just saying, you know, if you're going to be a bear, you might as well be a grizzly.
Oh, my gosh. I think the heart attack would come right there.
Yeah, just thinking about it, I think I'm starting to get a little woozy.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Rainbow Bridge, now on my list of things to see, not see.
That's right. Yeah. Let me know how you like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll drive over there in a couple of weeks. I'll get back to you.
You get back to me on that because you know I'm not going.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go the 30 miles around. Maybe I'll go 100 miles around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to be safe. It'd be my luck to get on 73 and couldn't get off.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's on Highway 73. You get on that sucker and you can't get off, it'd be a bad day at Black Rock.
Yeah. Hopefully they've got a sign that says, hey, this is your last exit before the Rainbow Bridge. So if you want to avoid
it. I wonder if they do have a sign up. They may have one that says, you know, if you're afraid of heights, don't go this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you're going to get the wits scared out of you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Yeah, and now the more I think about it, I think I may just Google it and just look at it from afar, like on the internet.
It's safer. Just Google it and look at it, and don't even go down there. That I would recommend that.
Now, see, safety first. See, there you go. So with life settlements, you know, we're talking about like at the beginning of the year, sometimes in the past, and I know we don't always talk about it very often, but in past years, you said, you know, the first quarter of the year, usually a lot of companies come in and they bid hard on these on some of these good policies because they have this huge budget and they just, you know, throw all their eggs in one basket. They usually try to bid it in, you know, in the first quarter or so. Is that still the situation, or how does the landscape change, and how does this other company you're doing business with change?
Well, Magna's back in the game, so they will be bidding big and hard the first of the year. But I think it'll be different than in years past because we have this new company that I think we won't even have to worry about that. I don't think we'll have to be bidding on a lot of stuff that we've always bid on, because with this company, that if they own it, they'll bring it to us, we'll work out a deal, and we'll buy their policies. And so I think it's going to eliminate our worry about the first quarter like we've always worried about with Magna and these other big companies outbidding us that first quarter. I don't think we're going to be bidding against them. I think we've eliminated that.
You know, and it's nice that you bring up this this other company, because it's a company that you started dealing with late last year. And like you said, they're the ones that brought you the glioblastoma policy. They had that.
Yes, we did two with them. Oh. We've already done two policies with them.
Mm.
And so we know that their policies are really good so far, and we know how they have the availability.
What about the profit margins with this new company? Those have improved.
I think it'll be quite a bit more. I'm thinking our profit will be a lot higher than it has been. I may be wrong, but I believe it will be higher than what we've had in the past.
Okay. Even though you've got this new relationship, which looks to be really, really promising. I mean, you've said you've been trying to do business with these guys for a number of years, right?
No, these people, we did one deal with them about 6 months ago. Then they came back to us.
Mm, okay, so 6 months ago. All right, so you got these new people on the line, and the profit margins look good. The policies look really, really great. It seems like a really fast process to get the policies done. What does that do for the risks? Are the three big risks still in play regardless?
You always have those. You always have the risk. So it doesn't matter who we buy policies from. You're always going to have the fact that a policy can go over. You need to anticipate that a certain amount will go over. And so that's your biggest risk in this. If a policy goes over, my payment will be delayed. You're still going to get paid. Your payment has just been delayed by several months, maybe 12 months, 30 months, whatever. But you'll always get your profit and your principal back. So that's your biggest risk. The next biggest risk is it's not liquid during that time. Most people know that going in. They realize if you invest money, it's not liquid until it matures. And when that policy matures, it's liquid again, and you can either leave it in cash or you can reinvest. Most people do want to reinvest. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went broke. We haven't had one go broke in Texas, and nationally there hasn't been one go under in years because of the premium income. The premium income is the secret to all those life companies, okay? Because their income is so great, they have the money to always pay their claims.
They always have those resources on hand at all times.
Yes, they have resources on hand at all times.
For those who have been coming to see you recently, because you said you've had a number of people who are new, they're getting accounts set up. They want to, you know, finally, you know, get out of the stock market at least a little bit to test things out and see. Are all of those or most of those people coming to you for the life settlement? Or are they coming for other options or just to get some information?
Other than those three people, then I have a client that's been with us a long time. He's retiring. He retired 2 weeks ago. We're moving his 401k into an annuity. He wants to go with an annuity and have a set amount of income every year for the next 20 years. So we're doing that for him. But the other three are all going to be in life settlements.
Okay, so they're, each of those are accredited, because I know to do the life settlement, you do have to meet a certain
criteria. You must be accredited to do this. And everybody says, well, Faye, why do you do it? It's a government regulation. It's not my regulation. It's the government. The government says to invest in this, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So that's the government speaking. It's not Faye.
It's not just Faye being mean. It's like
it's
a
not
legitimate...
Faye being mean. And the other thing is, our requirement is $100,000. You cannot invest in this unless you have $100,000. We found that people that only have $50,000, they might need that money. But if you're worth $1 million or you've got $200,000 in income, you have emergency money, so we don't worry about it. And that may be what the government's thinking, is you need emergency money. And if you've got $1 million worth, you know, you've got all kinds of emergency money.
What about someone who is not accredited?
Okay, if they're not accredited, an annuity is the perfect vehicle. And there's all types of annuities. The stock market, those are variable annuities. That's just like being in the stock market. We don't do those because those have huge fees. And as your broker can tell you how big the fee is. I had a lady tell me the other day, well, we got in trouble because we were in a variable annuity. Yes, variable annuities are expensive, and they're not guaranteed. Your principal is never guaranteed in a variable annuity unless it's in a fixed account. Otherwise, it can go up. When you get ready for it, it can be down. So if you go and stay with our type of annuities, we do fixed and we do index annuities, and those are your principal's always safe, and they make good money. They're not going to make as much as a life settlement, but it's steady income.
When people are coming to see you, especially lately, like new investors, I mean, do most of them have an idea of their financial landscape? If they got past 401ks, if they're accredited, or are they just coming for information and then you're kind of guiding them there?
No, most of them know when they call, they say, we are accredited. So they know that is the criteria. They must be accredited to do this. And all three of these, when they call, they said, I believe I am accredited.
Okay. Do you recommend?
So then I go over them that with them before they ever come in to make sure they are accredited. If they're not, then we're going to talk about annuities.
Okay. All right. So there's a number of different options. So they don't necessarily have to be if they're not accredited, they're not out of the investment game, and they're just at a dead end for retirement or wealth building. There's still other options as well, and you'll discuss that.
There's a lot of options, yes, that we can do for them.
Okay. And so as far as meetings go and things like that, you're still on Zoom, I assume, banking Zoom appointments, things like that, going over things virtually.
Yes, we are doing everything virtually.
Okay. And as far as appointments go, you're available this coming week? Or how are you as far as availability?
Will. Yes, I'll be available for Zoom. I sure will.
Perfect. All right. So for people to call and make an appointment and get started, get the conversation going, start making some money, getting into the new year in a really, really good place. You say this is a good time for people to actually set up accounts, even if they don't start investing right away. They should go ahead and start making the move, right?
They should make the move, get the account set up, and when we call for them to invest, they have the money ready and we can do it. Because everybody says, when do I need to have the money? And I said, well, if you're going to invest in the next 30, 40 days, you've got to have the money there. And then when we call for it, if you approve the transaction, we take it out of your account and we pay for the policy.
It's a quick process.
It's very quick.
Okay. So one last time, Faye, for people to give you a call and get started and get the ball rolling, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.